Hello and welcome to the HR Locker podcast. On today's show, we are joined by Terence Morgan, Director of Business Development, and Rory Guckian, owner of GHR Consulting. GHR Consulting helps SMEs save on their HR and recruitment costs by providing policy documents, recruitment, and advice. In this podcast, we discuss the new legislation that has come into effect in Ireland, the new unpaid leave entitlements under the Work-Life Balance Act 2023. The Work-Life Balance Miscellaneous Provisions Act has come from an EU directive. This act is supporting the balance between employees' working life, family life, and caring responsibilities. In this podcast, we discuss what employers need to know about this new legislation, what challenges employers may face, and what it means for your organisation and updating policies and handbooks. We really hope you enjoy.
Welcome to today's podcast. My name is Christelle Rin, and I'm the Chief Operating Officer here at HR Locker. Today, I'm delighted to have Rory Guckian with me and Terence Morgan from GHR Consulting. So thank you both for being with me today to go through, new legislation that's been put into place here in Ireland. So Rory, I suppose if we just go straight into it, we've new unpaid leave entitlements in Ireland. What does it mean? As a HR manager, what do I need to be looking at? CEO, what am I doing?
So look, I suppose what you're seeing in recent years in particular is a lot more EU directives coming in to bring Ireland more into line with kind of mainland Europe. So I suppose this new Work-Life Balance and Miscellaneous Provisions Act, it's come from an EU directive, and it's basically about supporting a balance between an employee's working life, their family life, and care and responsibilities. So to answer your question, as a HR manager, you need to understand what these legislation changes mean for you, what they mean for your employees and for the company overall, and make sure that you understand, it's basically about greater diversity and inclusion in the workplace and just making sure you understand the reasons behind them and what your responsibilities are to your employees.
Yeah, and I suppose that's the first step really I think is important, is that there's a number of different steps. I think it goes through the unpaid leave for medical appointments, breastfeeding entitlements, domestic violence leave, right to request for flexible working. So there's a number of different areas. I suppose first steps to take for HR professionals is to just go and see what people are actually entitled to now.
Absolutely. I mean, the big one is probably around the unpaid leave for medical care purposes. So prior to this, people would have used force majeure, which obviously had to be paid by the employer. Now it's the unpaid leave. It means if someone has a medical emergency, you know, one of their parents or sibling or someone they're looking after or a child, they can take 5 days unpaid leave. I mean, their employer can request, a doctor search for them, confirming, or for whoever the person was that had to take leave for. But that's quite an important one. I suppose another important one is the right to request remote working for any employee. So look, the employers need to have a working from home policy or a remote working policy, because I mean, this is legislation. What a lot of employers will probably do is get in a request, ignore it, and that's how they'll get themselves in trouble. So even if they're turning down the request, it's really important that they reply to the employee, explain the reasons why they can't, you know, grant their request, and maybe give the employee the right of appeal. But I think you're going to see a lot of cases in the next 6 to 12 months where employers had a working from home request. It was just ignored. And the employee basically brings a case to say, I requested to work from home as per the legislation. The employee would refuse to engage me, and therefore I feel like I'm being discriminated against.
Yeah. And I think, Terence, that's the kind of key thing. I think for any of these things, we've had this conversation 100 times, is let's go down to communication. What are your policies? There's new entitlements you have. Start to communicate to your employees.
You know, you're absolutely 100% right. Sometimes I think for ourselves who work in the HR, industry, we're guilty of, you know, like just jumping straight into the legislation. I always like to look maybe back a little bit about why this has come into effect. I often think if you look at the pieces of legislation over the last 30 or 40 years, they're very reflective of change, you know, I suppose, in society and in work at that time. So, I mean, if you look at the overall reason for this being put in place, it talks about balance in your life. The important thing I would always say to all the employers out there is that these are minimum statutory requirements. we work in the recruitment division as well. And what we're seeing for retention is that that's got to be a part of your offering now, that you are, you know, I suppose I was only speaking to a business owner today who was talking to me about recruitment and retention and talking about money. I said, look, remuneration is important, but all of these other benefits that you can offer now to the best and the brightest are critical. So that's where you've got to get your head around, is that, you know, if I want my business to grow, if I want to retain my best, you know, at a very minimum, I've got to ensure that I'm up to date with it. So that's the reason for it. I mean, if you look all the way back to the Unfair Dismissals Act, I mean, you know, before that, it was pretty much you're sacked and you're out the door. But like at the time, it was reflective of change. Now what we're seeing is more family life, is more caring, you know, and a work-life balance. And then thrown into that mix, then you have remote working and et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I think once the employer understands why, it's a, often a lot easier to justify, you know, the reasons for implementing or communicating. But to agree with you, please have it in a policy or in your contract. If it's not written down and if it's not communicated out, Rory said, it becomes a very gray area. So that's always your starting point.
And I think, Rory, we've discussed this several times for the last, I'm going to say, 4 years, when people are waiting on legislation from government about what is remote working. We saw it during COVID is, you know, what's remote working? What are you going to do? What are you going to do with hybrid working? What are you going to do when people come back? We've had this discussion a couple of times that it's basically just, yes, there is, Terence, to your point, that this is the minimum requirement, but what do you as a company want to do in excess of that? What do you actually stand for? Do you want to be remote working? Do you want to give, you know, 8 months maternity leave, whatever it is, you know? So I think that, yeah, so we've discussed this a couple of times that, yes, it's so important to be led by legislation, but figure out what you want to do as a company on top of that.
Absolutely. Right? And I mean, I've worked for companies and I commuted an hour each way for over 4 years. And now I'm doing the recruitment for them and they're offering, you know, 3 and 4 days a week from home. I was like, hang on a second. I spend 10 hours a week and 100 euros a week on tolls and time and stress out of my mind coming home after being stuck
nobody
in traffic
cared about
and
Galway.
And now they're like, well, OK, we're going to hire someone from, you know, Dublin or Drogheda to work in our Galway office, because they only need to be here 1 day a week. So it is amazing, the change. But look, it comes with trust. A lot of businesses are old school and the trust is a big thing. And even for me, if I was hiring a new employee, I would probably say, well, I want you in the office for the first 2 or 3 months. That's just me personally. Get to know you. And once I know and trust you personally, I'd be a little bit skeptical of hiring someone who I don't know and immediately have them work from home. But that's just me. Everybody's different. Some people want them in the office all of the time with no exceptions. I think there's a happy medium ground because it opens up your talent pool. I mean, you can theoretically hire people from anywhere in the world, like Chris Ellen, almost you guys are remote based. I think there's probably a happy medium to get. I think there's a lot to be said for getting employees together, be it every 6 or 12 months at a minimum. I'm dealing with the new client there in Galway in the last couple of days, and they have all of their employees working remotely, but he's actually now in the process of getting everybody back together in the office. He wants them in the office at least 2 days a week and together as a group once a month. So he had that initially and then they kind of went totally remote, and now he's actually kind of backtracking on what he's been pushing for the last 3 years because it just meets his business requirements to get them together under the one roof to build the kind of company culture which is kind of missing at the moment.
Yeah. And I'm a massive advocate for remote working. However, you know, we work really hard at it. You know, we have department get togethers once a quarter. We have a company get togethers once a year. We have water cooler catch ups on Teams. You know, it's you have to put a huge amount of work into it. So if that's what you want to be as a company, decide on it, you know, based on the legislation, you know, obviously. But if we talk about, so there's lots of different things now with the, you know, breastfeeding things, remote working, which I think is going to be the biggest issue for people, the flexible working, things like that. You know, as an employer, what kind of difficulties do you kind of really see going forward for employers if they're not managing it correctly?
I mean, the big thing I've probably come across is employers, you know, I might say something even about force majeure, which is an old, you know, entitlement, and employers like, yeah, take that out of the contract. I don't want the employees knowing about this. And that would be very common. you know.
Yes, we don't want to give annual leave. Take that in.
Yeah. And we've had this. We've had this. And you're like, guys, this is utterly insane. Like, this is mad stuff. Like, they're like, yeah, we don't want them knowing their entitlements. And what happens is then the younger generation in particular, they know their rights from day one, and they're tying their employers in knots. And we see with WRC inspections, we deal with a lot of them myself and Terrence. And the first thing they do is, can you prove that you've paid your annual leave? Can you prove you've paid public holidays? Can you prove you've paid sick leave? Whatever it is. So, I mean, there's no way around it. So, Terrence, we were talking last week and about a new cafe. And I said, oh, they might come on board as a client. He said, they don't pay. They don't pay breaks. They don't. What is it? They don't pay. They don't pay anything, sir. They pay the wages, I think, just about.
Pay the wages, just about. Don't get breaks. Don't pay break times. Tips and gratuities, no signage up, obviously, with that new piece of legislation that came into effect. With hospitality, you have a Class C, $2,500 fine off the top of my head if you don't display your tips and gratuity. All of that. So, you know, I wouldn't think...
Let's assume they don't have a pension option, the PRSA option either.
Yeah, you can assume.
To answer your question, Christelle, like, it's communication. It's, guys, the legislation's out there. Rather than try to hide it, I mean, it's such an old school mentality. It's just be open and honest. This is, and you're going to end up paying it some way. Either someone will take a case or you'll be inspected by the WRC.
Exactly.
You're going to end up paying it in some way or another. But look, it's about communication. It's a memo to your employees of this new legislation, that this legislation has changed. From now on, you're entitled to whatever, 3 days sick pay, or, you know, you're entitled to now unpaid leave if you're looking after a care. I mean, employees love seeing that. What employees don't like is they find about this benefit to them through, because they're talking to their partner at home, and they're like, I was like, well, why are these guys not telling me, you know, this stuff? Why, you know, they rather, you know, they should be proactive is probably really what I'm trying to get at.
And I mean, I think where people sometimes get a little bit lost is, you're not all of a sudden going to get an influx of 100 requests for, you know, exact for extra leave or carers leave. I mean, most people, like, you still have to prove that you're caring for somebody at home, or if your kids, I think it's 5 days for if you're caring for a sick child. Like, it's not all of a sudden that everybody's going to be out for 5 days because they're caring for somebody. So you're not opening the floodgates.
You know what? It's the age old adage, really, isn't it? It's any change in the workplace, everybody fears it, whether it's the employer or the employees. I mean, me and Rory would often, you know, like, have this discussion with newer clients coming on board, sometimes historical ones who may not have that much documentation in place. And there's a kind of view that, you know, they're kind of scared to give it to Paddy, the employee, because he's there for 30 years, you know, and what's going to happen if I give him a contract? Which I'd always flip to them, you know, what's going to happen if you don't give them a contract? You know, so I often think if they just sit back and think about it, all you're doing is communicating, you know, the statutory rights to the employee, which they're going to find out anyway. So is it not better to, you know, formulate that into your own plan of a business? Because if you don't, you know, the employee will have their own, and then that becomes, you know, part and parcel and custom and practice, and they've already formed the rules anyway. And then it becomes a bigger mess for the likes of Rory or someone to go in and try and sort it all out retrospectively. So
I probably send you in turn to that.
Yeah, well, I was trying to get you in there this time for those ones.
No, but it's true. I mean, like, we introduced the Bike to Work scheme. We got this new piece of software about 12 months ago. And I was a little bit apprehensive about it because I was thinking, oh my gosh, are we always all of a sudden going to get 50 people who've just bought bicycles and I've got to pay it up front and it's going to cost us a freaking fortune, right? We have got zero requests for our bike.
There you go.
I actually got my new bike to it about a month ago. But I've had it in other companies, and I know for a fact people throw in lawnmowers and all sorts.
Oh, hold on. That's all exactly sorts.
It's like, we need to maximize €1,000 on getting a bike, a lawnmower, and maybe, you know, something else thrown in. Yeah.
I love that
happens. But there's no cost to the employer, and, you know, everyone's a winner if you can drive your lawnmower to work every day.
No, that is key. You know, this is another, I was a little bit shocked actually at this. I was at an event a couple of weeks ago, and there was a HR person speaking, and he was going through the legislation, and he jokingly said the battered wives legislation part of it, which would be the domestic violence leave. And I was thinking, gosh, you know, if we talk, we've spoken a lot about communication, but there is a narrative around what when you're introducing something into a company. So, you know, if you're talking about that, oh, for goodness sake, this is just a legislation for females or for women, you know, that really changes the company's viewpoint of it. So, you know, but I am also aware of that. If you talk about managers, a lot of the time they wouldn't be equipped if somebody comes to them and says, you know what, I'm actually going through a domestic violence issue at home. What can I do? So how do companies prepare for that? You know, how can you get your managers prepared for that? Because it's a very difficult situation to be in.
So I thankfully never had to deal with it in my HR career up until about 6 months ago. And there was an employee of a client. She ran a store and she was unfortunately in that situation with her current or now to be ex-husband, and she was kind of saying, is it okay if I stay in the store overnight and sleep in the office and stuff like, and like, we really didn't know. I mean, myself and one of the directors were speaking, and I was trying to give my advice, and look, it wasn't feasible on any level really for that, but at the same time we didn't really know what else, you know, we were trying to think of solutions, or you know what I mean. So it's a very sensitive, it's a very difficult situation. But like in that situation, again, I was totally flummoxed. I was like, okay, we need to work out a plan. So it's great now to be able to say to the employer, look, give her at least 5 days off to get things sorted out. She's not going to lose out financially. I know it's another cost for the employer, but you know, at the end of the day, these things are so serious, and they're so relatively uncommon. I mean, the chance of most employers having to deal with this is fairly slim, I would think. That's just been my experience, and it was like, oh my god, like it was like I really didn't know what to do.
Yeah, you know what? I'd agree with you. It's a, you know, it's a taboo subject in Ireland, probably still. I'm so happy that this has been highlighted and brought out into, you know, like, I suppose as a dad of two adult girls myself, it's probably something that's a little bit closer to my heart. And I'm, you know, because it's been a huge issue, a huge shadow in Ireland, if you ask me, for years. What I would say to you about that is, as well, employers probably have some resources in place today that they don't even realize, because what you're kind of looking at here with this legislation is you're kind of crossing over a little bit into the Safety, Health and Welfare Act 2005 and your duty of care. So you may have an EAP program in place in your business. So employee assistance program. So that's there to support the employee. You're more than likely have a company GP, you know, which you can offer support and you can refer on. So, you know what I mean? So just because the legislation is new, sometimes business owners, once again, can step back a little bit. But really, you more than likely have something you can start with. But exactly what Rory said, I think 5 days for somebody to get their head around it and to put a plan in place is really critical.
And I think that's actually key, Terence, is that we said, like, this is the minimum requirement. More than likely,
exactly.
If in any company somebody came up to you and said, I was having an issue, you'd be supportive and you'd try to help. You know, this is just kind of putting a framework around it. You know, and I think that's right. The important side of things, you know. But the other thing I think, this is just my personal opinion, is that, you know, sometimes we get these legislation and it's quite heavy in terms of, oh, this is a domestic violence piece, it's a breastfeeding piece, there's flexible working, there's all of this, oh my goodness, should be training managers on all these things. I don't really think that there's a massive need to go out and train all your managers in terms of how to deal with if somebody asks for extended breastfeeding or somebody asks for extended this or somebody. That would be my opinion. What do you guys think?
Yeah, like, I think employers just need to be proactive. If someone's coming to you in a situation, they're clearly, you know, if an employee of mine was facing a domestic violence situation, I mean, you want to be as supportive as possible. You don't want to be saying, well, I just need to check now the legislation to see if I can let you leave.
Can I do that or not?
Like, I mean, people remember this stuff. I mean, you know, I've been through, be it grief or whatever it is, you know, and you remember you're in a bad position or at a low ebb, and it's like, okay, this is the time I need a little bit of support. You're going to get it back 100-fold, versus employers who are like, well, okay, look, you can maybe take 3 hours off there to go visit your solicitor, but you better not be bloody late coming back. You know, that's just it's not something we'd advise our clients, and we probably wouldn't really work with clients like that. We'd be happy to kind of cut them loose, to be honest.
Yeah, and that's what I think as well. If people are really questioning the legislation, it's you're probably not a very good employer. So in terms of, I suppose, as company owners or or HR managers, the most proactive step, should they be updating handbooks? Or just issuing updated policies?
Yeah, I mean, the communication is probably the most important. So in the first step, probably update the relevant policies or the handbook. I mean, there's been a lot of changes in 2023 from parental leave or parents leave to, you know, the sick leave, et cetera, et cetera. So really you should be looking to update that every 6 or 12 months. But it's the communication piece, you know, letting the employees know, sending out a memo, having a little, if you have a lot of employees, sending out an invite to come in for, you know, have a little breakfast meeting at 8 o'clock on a Friday morning, whatever it is, and put on a few croissants and a bit of coffee or tea or whatever, and just say to people, it doesn't need to be War and Peace, a little 20-minute presentation. Hi guys, just so you know, there's been a lot of HR legislation changes. These are what they are, just that you know, we're aware of them. You guys need to be aware of them too. If anyone has any questions, come and talk to us, versus just, you know, pretending they don't exist and hoping they don't ever come up, you know. And I've worked in environments like that. It's like, well, Jesus, don't tell employees about this. They'll all be looking to go breastfeeding, or they'll all be looking to go.
need gen flux all of a sudden. What are we doing?
So, yeah. But like, that unfortunately is, as Taryn said, is the Paddy mentality. It's like, and you say with the right to work, it's like, listen, this isn't going to bankrupt your business if somebody has to take a few days carers leave to look after their elderly parent. Like,
yeah. You know what I like? And I'm coming back to retention again, and I'm sorry, because I know it's not the topic for discussion, but then I don't be beating the drum about it, but it all ties in. So recently, again, we've been talking to clients, and I kind of bring up with them sometimes, you know, so they might ring me and tell me such and such is leaving. So I'll always say to them, you know, like, you sound surprised. Why are you surprised? Did you not know they were leaving? And they were like, no. So, okay, so this is an issue. You should really know really what the plans of your staff is. So obviously that leads to doing staff reviews with positive feedback and areas they can work on. But what we would also recommend is that's a good time to cover the HR updates as well as part of the package, because you're actually giving them some more information about, you know, new statutory leave. You're giving them feedback on the role and you're keeping them up to date. And believe it or not, as I said to employers, employees like that, because employees like to know what the plan is and they like to know what's going on with the business, you know, and themselves. Well, then what Rory said, you know, then being scared of telling them that there's, you know, force majeure leave in, it's 3 days extra leave for the year. It's not. It can be dealt with when it comes in. Because I remember the force majeure days myself. And back in the day, I remember seeing, actually quite amusingly, seeing medical certs with force majeure written on it like it was a tropical disease. and that's a fact. I actually saw a medical cert with that written on it, which is quite entertaining. So, you know, it's communication, you know, it's informing them. And exactly as you said, Christelle, very low percentage will come to you and avail of it. It's not going to be an onslaught at the door at 8 a.m. the following morning. You know, there may be one or two query it, and that's fine.
And I think for me, the biggest part where I see will be interesting to see is that right to request the flexible and remote working, because I think that if you as a company that you're either not offering it or you've decided just not for us, the kind of the points of turning people down is a little bit iffy. It's not really kind of I wonder the legislation of the next 6 to 12. So, well, not legislation, the kind of case law of the next 6 to 12 months.
Yeah, probably it'll be interesting to see. And I think there was one already probably 6 months ago, and it came down to two people doing the same job, and one person was allowed to work from home and the other one wasn't. Yeah. And that's where it's kind of like redundancy, where if you do it right, you're not really going to get yourself into bother. But if you have two people doing the same job and you pick one over the other, you need to make sure there's a logical business reason that if someone's looking at it, this is fair and, you know, fair and objective.
Yeah.
I think that's where you're going to see. I say to all of our clients who are talking about working from home, I say very simple, you put in a work from home policy, every request to work from home is looked at on an individual basis. Mm-hmm. Exactly. We as a company will reply to you within whatever 5 working days. Once we receive your request in writing, we'll reply within 5 working days, either granting it or explaining the reasons why it hasn't been granted, or maybe some middle ground. It sounds very simplistic, but as I say, it leaves you, the employer, in control of the situation. Correct. Rather than what we have other you know, employers, and it's just turned into a free for all. Said, oh, they won't come back, and none of them come back to the office. And I'm like, well, what does their contract say? What's their place of work in their contract? You know, and that's the first question. Turns, you've had it probably 100 times this year, so have I. I said, what? Where is the place of work in the contract? They're like, well, it's here in the office. I said, well, what's the problem?
You're not entitled to, exactly. And I think with employers, they just have to, like you said, it's the same as redundancy, is that saying, well, I just didn't want to let them work from home kind of doesn't cut it, you know, so figure out what way you're going to, you know, make sure you're consistent with it like that. Go back to your contracts. I'm presuming, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, I'm going to say 99% of people have not updated contracts to say that your place from work is no longer the office, it's remote working.
99.999
have it. Yeah, absolutely right.
So, you know, that there is just, you know what I think from a HR perspective is, and through all my years working in different HR sectors, I always say the same thing, is that you have to have a structure. You just have to have a policy, a procedure, a structure of how you do it.
It protects and the employer. It's your only protection from all of these issues. It's the only one. There's all this legislation protecting the employee. Your only protection as an employer is getting your policy right.
Yeah. I mean, it's a roadmap. Yeah. It's a step-by-step, like, join the dots, really. You can't go wrong if you follow the procedure through. And you just take it that way, you know. But how are you supposed to do it if you don't have a procedure in place, or it's communicated out? You need the process.
And it doesn't have to be totally complicated.
No, simple. We don't get into a GHR. We don't get into, you know, a highly legalized, you know, language here and there with simple. Everybody can understand it, what the next step is, et cetera, et cetera. And then it's all on the table. And it's very easy to sort out.
Yeah, exactly. Like you just said, they were somebody's requesting to work from home 5 days. Okay, we'll come back to you. These are the bits that we're going to be assessing against. You know,
there are the 5 days that give you, you know, it gives you a little bit of time to say, okay, if we turn this down, you know, is the employee going to leave? Is it going to cause Mary, who works beside her, throw her into a, you know, a meltdown? You know, whatever it is. So there's all these type of things to consider.
And that is my last thing I'm going to kind of go into, is that's like the legislation, I think, is the minimum in terms of what is required and from the work-life balance side of things. We are also in an extraordinarily tight recruitment market at the moment. You have seen this. Well, I'm sure you guys have seen this a lot. I have a friend of mine who basically got about 3 or 4 job offers in a week, and she was like, which one can I work from home with? That one, that's the one I'm going with. So it is a little bit employee or candidate driven. So, and I don't think, in my experience, it's not all down to salary. I think it's a huge amount of down to the benefits. I don't know, you guys seeing 100%. The same thing?
Yeah, 100%.
Oh my God, it's so massive now. It is so changed. You know, the benefits, you know, the flexibility in working, you know, the remote working. That is such a huge part of the package for the, you know, for the guys that are coming into the workplace, graduates, etc. And that's what we're seeing on the recruitment side of our services. We're nearly having to train employers to say, yeah, you know, you're offering a competitive salary, but what else are you going to get? I remember meeting a guy down the west of Ireland years ago. I said, what benefits do you offer the employees? Well, he said, I pay them. I said, well, that's not really a benefit. Like,
that's like a basic requirement.
Yeah, so we need to move away from that. You know,
the biggest thing I'm noticing with younger people or younger business owners is, whereas before saying, oh, I work 70 or 60 or 70 hour weeks, kind of more American thing of like, wow, you know, you're such a go-getter.
Yeah.
Now it's like, if I told someone I work 60 or 70 hours a week, which I do, turns, just in case you're asking, you know,
me too.
people look at you and they're like, what's wrong with you? Now, if you're like, well, I work 10 or 15 hours a week, people are like, well, it's impressive. Like, it's really hard. Yeah. I don't know. But it's the last 2 or 3 years, working less is actually now seems to be more impressive than boasting about working. And I remember, you know, being young. And,
it's you'd nearly be embarrassed years ago to say, you know, if you were working those hours, you know what I mean? If you weren't doing the 60 hour week and putting in the time and staying late in the office, you know, it's changed so much for the better.
Yeah. And I think it's a combination of COVID, but it's also a combination of younger generation coming, because they just expect, obviously I'm part of that younger generation, clinging on to that, but they...
And
yeah, we're all are.
So are you? Are you?
Dig a turn.
We all are. but I do think Yeah, the expectation is that I'm not working 6 hours a week. I am, you know, and what, how are you actually going to be protecting my mental health here? Because you need to be protecting it. And yeah, when I want to work from home, I want to. But, you know, I think it's so I think over the next 12 months, it'll be really interesting to see the case law that comes out against it. What happens, you know, all the people that are going to bring forward to say, well, I requested flexible working and they turned me down. And I think I'm going to put a punt in it is that the people who are going, the companies who are going to be fined over it are those who don't have the basic, what did you say, Terence, the roadmap in place.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that's a, you know what I mean? You've really hit the nail on the head. Mm-hmm. That's where they need to get to. I've told employers you're going to be left behind if you're building an old school model. You just won't get the people to run the business, you know, which has become so successful. Some of them, to be fair, you know, it was more a resistance to change. But once they saw, you know, that it is possible, and I think we referenced COVID there, which is a word I said I'd never say again. But that really did change things because, like, who would have thought before that pretty much remote working could have happened overnight, which it did across the country. Everyone would have said, oh, we're not ready. We don't have the technology. It's not going to work. Well, like, we got there. You know, and I think it'll be for the good down the line. So yeah. I just finished that. Yeah. A lot.
We might drop on that. It was so lovely to speak to the both of you. I could do it. We could speak for another hour. Guys, best way to contact you, LinkedIn, website.
Yeah, www.ghrconsulting.ie. Or you'll find us on LinkedIn, or you'll find us anywhere in the west of Ireland. We attend every event we're invited to. People are kind of stop inviting us to stuff, so maybe we need to rethink that strategy.
You just turn
up
with them.
We turn up anyway. Yeah. We don't need an invite.
We're like the wedding crashers.
Yeah.
They just expect you to be there. No, it's been a pleasure. Great. And so we'll send some, obviously, some legislation. There's some links and stuff like that. And if anybody needs to work on their roadmap, I couldn't. I suppose I'd encourage you to contact Rory or Terence. So thank you so much, guys, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Christelle.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Check us out at hrlocker.com and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Make sure to subscribe to catch the latest episodes on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you would like to feature on a future podcast, get in touch by emailing us at marketing@hrlocker.com.